Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Herman Pretorius. So, let's get into our only news story of today, and that, Herman, is that you've been doing an awful lot of interviews because the Institute of Race Relations, us, have published an opinion piece, opinion polling results, and, well, they're quite a banger, to use what the kids say these days. Herman, what did our new poll say about the status of African politics?
Well, annually, every year, we conduct polling and we ask at least three sets of questions. Firstly, we try to understand the political state of the country, which parties are up, which parties are down. Then we try to understand the policy preferences, the policy priorities that ordinary South Africans have. And then, of course, we investigate race relations. How do people experience race relations? What are their perceptions? And since the GNU started, we, of course, added a GNU segment to our political questions to understand whether people like or dislike the GNU. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Who should be in it? Who shouldn't be? And the first part of our polling that was, you know, just came out, the survey conducted the 27th of March to the 3rd of April, published this morning. We took the first of three reports breaking down these findings, and these political findings came up with the banger takeaway, if we are going to use the parlance of them youths, the banger takeaway that the DA has overtaken the ANC for the first time in IRR polling as South Africa's most popular party. The DA stands, according to this poll, on 30.3% of the vote, with the ANC on 29.7%. That's quite a change from the elections in May last year, our polling from September, October last year, that showed the parties getting a short-term boost from the GNU. Since then, since October, things seem to have changed massively, with the DA breaching the 30% mark going up and the ANC breaching the 30% mark going down. Now, caveat, polling is not magic. It's not a prediction. It's not looking at animal entrails and trying to figure out, oh, what's the election result going to be? It's just a scientific snapshot of public opinion. So whilst this is important and whilst this is absolutely fascinating and stimulating and surprising, we shouldn't accept that this is now the new status quo. Things change to get us to this point. And things will change again. That could either create this as a new political reality where you have a really tight contest between the DA and the ANC for the largest party status, or if this moment of, you know, unique political consideration is allowed to go into the history books rather than into the political strategies of our political parties, we will see a likely return of a more formidable ANC, because, you know, this is a party that for all its ups and its many downs, you can't count it out at all. So we've got elections coming up in 26, 27, the local government side of things, big elections, national and provincial in 2029. Things can change a lot. But certainly at this moment, the surprising finding is DA, South Africa's largest party.
So, Herman, I've heard or read a bunch of pushback on this poll. I'm just going to run through some of the things that I've heard said about it, dismissing it. For example, one of the criticisms is that, well, this is only a sample size of 807 people. How can you tell that this is an accurate representation if you've got such a relatively small sample size of human beings?
So that is actually one of the easier questions to answer, but it isn't an answer that people generally accept, because polling is different from a census. It doesn't automatically become better the larger the sample size is. For example, I could have a sample size of 10,000 people and I could come up with a DA at 90% because I just asked 10,000 DA supporters. So it's not the size of a sample that is really where its value lies. It is in whether the sample is, number one, random enough. Do all registered voters have an equal shot at being included in this sample of 807? Number one is the randomness point. The second is whether it is a representative sample. And perhaps a good way to think about this is you don't have to eat a whole pizza to understand what the pizza tastes. You just make sure that you take a slice that looks broadly like all the other slices, and you make sure it's large enough that you get enough of the crust, enough of the cheese, enough of the toppings, and boom, you've got a fair idea of what the whole pizza tastes like. And that's the same with polling. You don't need to have a massive number, because in fact, at a certain point, those numbers become relatively, the advantage of a larger sample size disappears, just simply because of the basic laws of data science, the central limit theorem, the idea that given enough random samples, you see a normal spread or a bell curve emerging, and then within that bell curve, you can start making certain assumptions and certain predictions. If we look at the United States, a population of more than 300 million people, Gallup, Pew Research, these entities have been polling for decades, the entire American population with 1,000 participants in polling. So this is accepted methodology across the world. Larger sample size does not mean a more accurate poll. What really matters is the poll random? Do all participants have an equal shot at participating? And is it representative? Are you making sure you're getting enough people from rural South Africa, from townships, from suburbs? Are you making sure that you get the right number of older people versus younger people? The number of language speakers and all of that, which is in the presentation I delivered this morning, ends up making sure that what we get is a fair slice of the pizza.
All right. And I think we'll put a link to that presentation in the comments on YouTube and in the show notes on Spotify. Herman, another criticism I've seen is that, well, you know, does this really mean anything? We know from the Reliable Social Research Foundation poll before the election, there was a time when the DA ended up on 30% of the vote. That's what it looked like they were going to win. But they finished, you know, much closer to 20%, sort of on what, 21.9 or whatever it was. So, I mean, is this just a blip? What does that actually tell us about the electorate? Doesn't this just mean the election is going to change? You sort of alluded to this, but just specifically on that point.
So I think what's remarkable about this poll isn't that the DA is at 30%. They've been at 30% in previous polling. What is remarkable is that they're above 30% and the ANC is below 30%. I haven't seen that before. Now, that I've heard that that has been the case in some internal DA tracking polling, but the fact that these two parties are now neck and neck with the DA seeming to have a slight advantage, as you say, doesn't mean that this is the new status quo. What we can deduce from the campaign period of the Social Research Foundation's tracking poll heading into the 29th of May last year was that political election campaigning makes a difference. The ANC was weaker 6 weeks out from the election than ultimately it ended up as, and the DA was stronger. And the ANC rolled out an effective campaign over those last weeks and made some mistakes. But the point is, we're not trying to say this is what the election result's going to be. We are saying at the moment, given the information the electorate has, given the fact that this is a non-election year, they're not under a lot of pressure to decide which party they're going to vote for. All of these things being known, being factored in, being equal, we are now at a state where, in a very unique moment in time, two things happened. The South African national political debate shifted to focus almost laser-like on the question of personal finances and national finances with the VAT hike and the ructions and drama surrounding that. And at that same time, by pure coincidence, the IRR had a poll in the field to capture that moment. And what we're saying is, given that moment, given the fact that politics was so dramatically defined by socioeconomic policies, by the relative positions of parties on things like higher or lower taxes, this is the result that we come up with. And we say that if the DA manages to keep the 2026, 7, 2029 elections on the topic of VAT, of taxes, of public spending, of personal finance, they are likely to be able to sustain this position in the polling. However, if the ANC goes one of two routes, either rediscovering its economic pragmatism that saw it win 70% of the vote 20 years ago, or if it manages to hijack again the national conversation away from bread and butter, personal finance, tax issues, to the point of, you know, wealth redistribution, a bit of class envy, a bit of race envy, then the ANC might well regain the lead. So we're not making an absolute call that this is the state of things and it shall be the state of things. We're just saying that if these circumstances give us an indication of what the political contest in South Africa looks like, and these circumstances are repeated in future at election time, this is the sort of result that South Africans should start expecting. And perhaps the most mind-blowing finding of this poll is part of this idea of the DA having this leap ahead of the ANC. But we've found that support from registered black voters went from 5% in September and October 2024, when we last polled, to 18% as of April 2025, meaning that the shift of the political focus to the cut and dried bread and butter, you know, more taxes, lower taxes question, saw the DA break through a level of support from black South Africans that they simply haven't managed before, despite quite ardently desiring that and quite sometimes panderingly chasing that. So these criticisms, things might change, absolutely. If you think things might change is a criticism of a poll and therefore it should be dismissed, I think there's a misapprehension as to what a poll is and is not.
All right. Very briefly, your final thoughts on what this means going forward.
So I think this is an exciting time for South Africans to really find their voice of saying, we want jobs. We want more jobs, higher growth, lower taxes. The opinion polling, Nick, you and I have been looking at for years shows this. The number one priority every year we do polling, job creation, unemployment, are people getting the opportunity to earn an income, dominant as an issue. And now when the political debate responded to that, we see this dynamic movement. So my advice would go into two directions. Number one, the public should use this opportunity, should exploit this opportunity, and should not allow political parties to stray away from our material circumstances as the dividing line of our politics. We want, as South Africans, across racial lines and regional lines and class lines, we want an upward socioeconomic tide to lift all boats. And we shouldn't let political parties get away from talking about that. If they start talking about other things, we should simply use our leverage as voters and say, Icona, talk about what we want, not what you want. Democracy is about you responding to us, not us responding to you. And then the second advice would go to political parties, whether it's the ANC, DA, MK, Action SA, EFF, it doesn't matter. If you can, between today and the next election, convince South Africans that you understand their personal material circumstances, that you have a plan to improve it, and that you can be trusted on it to gain a sort of a foothold in the public mind as associating yourself as a party with the socioeconomic aspirations of people, you will likely emerge over the next few years, 10 years, few election cycles, as one of the parties in the ascendancy of South African politics. It isn't the case that we are these race bots who consistently vote on what we see in terms of skin color. We want to look at these parties and see our values and our aspirations reflected. The ANC can do this. The ANC can reclaim the lead, but the DA equally can maintain it. And that's where the exciting dynamism comes in going forward.
Fascinating stuff. And I think it echoes the claim that we've made on the show a number of times, which is that the 2024 election really was a game changer. And we're starting to see that now in many, many ways. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone, for watching. We hope you found this interesting. There will be links to the full presentation in the show notes. Cheers, everyone. Have a great day.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.